One of the news stories I remember from growing up, if we can get the PowerPoint, Jim, thank you, is of a farmer who was fined. And the TV, the news program, showed very disturbing pictures of his sheep. His sheep obviously had had no care whatsoever. They looked dirty, they looked bedraggled, and they made all sorts of distressing noises. The farmer was fined and he was banned from keeping sheep because it was obvious that he wasn't able to look after them, or he chose not to look after them. The words that Jesus used for the lost sheep of Israel would have described those sheep: harassed and helpless. One of the things that Jesus constantly did was he criticized the leaders of Israel for neglecting their people. In the same way that that farmer just didn't look after his sheep at all, the leaders of Israel didn't look after their people. And so they were described as harassed and helpless. And that was the group to whom Jesus sent the disciples. He said, "Go and speak to the lost sheep of Israel. They are harassed and helpless, and they need you." Now, what was strange was that Jesus worked amongst all sorts of people. He went to the undesirables. He went to Samaritans. And yet, he sent his disciples to the lost sheep of Israel. Why did he do that? After all, time and time again, Jesus said that he had come to preach good news to all the world, to the Gentiles and everybody else. And yet, he sent his disciples and said, "Go to the lost sheep of Israel." What he was doing was he was being strategic. He was saying to the disciples, "I want you to focus your efforts on this people group. I want you to be strategic about your mission." And because the disciples were strategic, because the disciples firstly went to the lost sheep of Israel, as Jesus called them, it meant that later, after Jesus had returned to heaven, ascended to heaven, the disciples went to all the world, to Judea, to Jerusalem, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But for this time, for this particular moment, Jesus gave strategic instructions. We are called to be sensible, to be careful, to be strategic about how we do our mission, about how we go with the good news. One of the exercises that we've been doing over this past year in the Kirk session and in other groups within the congregation is just thinking about prioritizing, about how we can best use our resources, not because we don't recognize needs that are elsewhere, but because for anything to be effective, you need a strategy. And if we just say, we'll do everything that needs to be done, regardless of whether we can do it well, regardless of whether we've got the people to do it, well, then we'll be ineffective. Jesus had a strategy, and so he sent the disciples to carry out that strategy. And as he did so, he sent them with a specific message. The kingdom of heaven is near. In other words, Jesus is here. God has sent Jesus as good news for the world. And at the heart of every mission has to be Jesus. No matter what we do, whether it's practical, whether it's speaking, Jesus has to be at the heart of it. If we can't find a reason for the things that we're doing where Jesus is at the heart of it, then perhaps we need to refocus our priorities. And so Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is near." And then he sent them. And he sent them to be practical. Now, Jesus sent his disciples and he said, heal the sick, cast out demons, do all sorts of miraculous things. And that raises the question for us, where does the miraculous fit in? But what's interesting is that if you read the New Testament, there are only two people who weren't amongst the original apostles who were recorded as carrying out miracles. And so at least that adds some credence to the argument that some people would make that that miracles, that those out of the ordinary signs were for a specific time and for a specific place. It doesn't mean that they still don't happen, but it does mean that we don't get worked up saying, we need to see all sorts of signs and wonders, and that's what our focus should be. But rather, we need to make a difference in the name of Jesus. Heal the sick, cast out demons. In other words, in the name of Jesus, make a difference to people's everyday lives. That's part of what we are called to do. And so as a church, we should constantly be asking ourselves the question, what difference are we making to the lives of the community around us in the name of Jesus? What difference does it make to the vulnerable, to the outcasts in our community that the church is here? And if it doesn't make a difference, then we're failing in our mission. If we're not going to the people who are harassed and helpless, if we're not living out the good news of Jesus to people who are harassed and helpless, then we're failing in what Jesus sent us to do. So our mission is practical. It makes a difference. Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give. And so there's to be reckless generosity in our mission. If the only difference that Jesus makes to our lives is that we set aside an hour or two in the week for him, well, then we haven't experienced his reckless generosity to us. And we're not in a position to share that generosity. But if we understand how our lives have been turned upside down, if we understand just how much he has done for us, if we understand the extent of his sacrifice for us, then we will be reckless in our generosity to other people. We will take risks. We will say, maybe I don't have it to give, but I'm giving it anyway. Maybe I'm already hard pushed, but I serve a Savior who went to a cross. And so I'll be reckless in my generosity, just as Jesus was reckless in his. How do we go? Well, this is what we were hearing about earlier, isn't it? Jesus said, don't take the backpack, don't take spares. And that wasn't about being ill-prepared, but it was about not having anything that would distract us. The disciples needed to be able to focus. And so in that culture, there was a culture where you could go to a town and you could say, I am an itinerant rabbi, preacher, whatever. Can I get hospitality? And people would welcome them. And they could depend on them. But if they were carrying spares, well, no chance. On Thursday, we were coming up on the train from London, and there was a family with their kids. And the poor folks had pushchair, three huge suitcases, and everybody was held up as, rightly, they had to get all their stuff into the luggage compartment, where, of course, it wasn't fitting in the train. And the parents were harassed. On the one hand, they had the kids wanting a seat. On the other hand, they had people wanting to put their cases up. And you could just see the stress it was causing them. And Jesus says to us, you don't take extra baggage through life because your stress will be in the wrong places. And so I wonder, what's the baggage that we carry that's unnecessary? I've been watching Catch 22 on Channel 4 at the moment, and there is a memorable scene in it where the guy who's at the center of it, of course, is trying to avoid flying missions and is trying to avoid being put in the line of fire. And he goes to all sorts of ridiculous extremes to avoid that. Meanwhile, his colleague just gets on with it. And the colleague says to him, "Let me tell you what the difference is between you and me. For me, it's happy, 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 dead. For you, it's worry, 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 dead." And who was the happier? And there's a sense in which Jesus says to us, get rid of the baggage. Get rid of the stuff that pulls you down, that takes your focus away from following Jesus, from loving him. Some of the happiest followers of Jesus are some of the poorest. Some of the happiest followers of Jesus are the people who seem to have absolutely nothing going for them, because they might substitute those words with happy, 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 dead in Christ, or worry, work, family, health, dead in Christ, but lost all joy in life. And so Jesus said to the disciples, don't take anything that would distract. And rely on the hospitality of others. There were two sides to that. On the one hand, it was about making sure that they could travel light, but it was also about making sure that they didn't get caught up. They weren't to spend their time moving into the village and saying, actually, I've stayed one night here, and the showers weren't very warm in the morning, so I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on because I've heard that they've got en suite in the next house, and a couple of nights there. And then they say, I'm a bit bored with their food, so I'll move on. And so Jesus' instruction about hospitality was, just be content with what you have, with what you're given. Focus on the job in hand, and that job in hand is loving people in the name of Jesus. And then he called on them to find people of peace. Find people who will be receptive to the message. Find people who will give you a bed, who are strategic in the community. Find people who are willing to listen to you. Our missionary partners, the Cramers, talk about going to communities and finding people of peace. They live amongst Muslim communities, and they will find people who are welcoming to them. And they will spend time with these people. And these people of peace, as they call them, will then spread the good news to their neighbors, their friends, or at least invite the Cramers to be with their neighbors and friends. It's those people who are welcoming, looking for people of peace, the people who are willing. And the flip side of that coin is, don't get hung up on those people who say, oh, it's a load of superstitious nonsense. Get lost. Jesus says, that's fine. Don't get hung up on them. You've done your bit. You've spread the good news. You've lived in my name. It's up to them what they do, how they respond to that. So don't get hung up on them. And so we are called to be disciples, to be people who go to people of peace, to be people who live to make a difference in our community in the name of Jesus. And this morning, I want us to think about what baggage we're carrying. What have we got too many spares of? What do we need to get rid of so we can travel light, so that we're not stressed trying to fit all our baggage in, thinking, how on earth can I hold on to all this baggage and hold on to Jesus at the same time? Jesus says, don't try. Get rid of the baggage, because I will provide all that you need. And so, as disciples, travel light. Don't get hung up on stuff. Don't get hung up on the stuff that doesn't matter. Let's come to Jesus in prayer now. God of harvest, gardener supreme, you place us at the center. Feed us, equip us, and having provided for us, look to a different harvest, a fruitfulness of lives in service to you and others. God of harvest, feed us, prune us, harvest us, that our lives might bring glory to you. Amen.